Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, something from the cellar, where we take you by the hand down to our cellar to peruse through some of the finest vintages from our conversational archive, hence something from the cellar, various selections of vintage tipples all served up for your listening pleasure. And for the next 2 weeks, we're taking you back to perhaps the defining decade for, well, a huge array of our previous guests. It's the 80s, baby. Yeah, get your hairspray out. Think Bananarama, the Nolans, and Spandau Ballet, because today we're turning our attention to some of the decade's biggest pop powerhouses. And first up, possibly the nicest man in showbiz, former Spandau Ballet member turned actor and now radio DJ Martin Kemp. We spoke to Martin about how the band's name came to be, I warn you now, it's a bit odd, and how some of his formative nights spent on the dance floor at the Blitz nightclub in the early 1980s spawned not only huge careers for him and his band of brothers, but also countless other showbiz legends. It's 1980. Robert Elms is an aspiring young journalist and now an esteemed broadcaster.
Yeah.
He's over in Berlin. He sees, as he's taking a pee in Berlin on a toilet wall, the words Spandau Ballet.
Yeah.
That becomes you guys.
It becomes us guys, but the name obviously belonged to someone else. Somebody else wrote it on the toilet wall.
Yeah.
And it was a band. And my brother will tell you the story that he was walking down Oxford Street once and this German guy came up to him and chased him up the road saying, "You stole our name! You stole our name!" Yeah, in those days, there was no Facebook where you could check it. Could check what bands that were around. It was the first person to have that name and had a hit record with it. You owned it. That was the name. They never had a hit record. They were just a band that was starting out and wrote Spandau Ballet on the toilet wall. And so, obviously, we were the first to have the hit record, the first to become famous, so it was our name.
Finders keepers, right?
Yeah, it was that. Yeah, it was exactly that.
You talk about the Blitz, right? What we should explain, because your book really takes you there, is what the Blitz was. The Blitz was a nightclub. It was a night. It was a Tuesday night. It wasn't a Saturday night.
No.
It wasn't in some glamorous location. It was a it was a dump, right? It didn't even have a dance floor, did it?
Well, it was a dumpy old wine bar.
Yeah.
You know, that had a kind of World War II theme around it.
When you say World War II theme,
it was posters of Winston Churchill, and it looked like it was out straight out of the Blitz, you know, it was kind of like a theme park. But it was a dirty old place, you know, and Steve Strange and Rusty Egan took it over one night a week on a Tuesday, like you said. Steve Strange, face of the 80s, changed so many lives, you can't imagine, you know, for Let's say there was like 150 people who went to that nightclub that, you know, that evening at the Blitz. So many people did so well out of that.
But you only got in if Steve Strange allowed you in. It was £2 on the door, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
Rusty was the DJ, Rusty yeah. Egan, and he kind of soundtracked that. And I suppose so much of it was inspired by the early works of David Bowie.
Well, it was a Bowie night, kind of. Well, it stemmed from the club before that was Billy's. And that was a pure Bowie's night, right? And it was kind of people went there dressing as kind of Roxy come Bowie. And that morphed into the Blitz when they got kicked out of Billy's. So it morphed into the Blitz. And then Rusty and Steve took it over. And like you say, Steve was the face of it. He was on the door. Absolutely a beautiful human being. Became one of my best friends. Until
you dedicate the book to him. He meant so much.
Absolutely.
To you.
He never stopped trying to pull me his whole life.
Did he not?
No, every time we went out. And so, yeah, he became one of my best friends. And he was, I love him dearly. And I always think that we spoke about Anna Scher giving me the nice side of my personality. I think Steve Strange gave me the bad side.
The naughty
yeah,
side.
Yeah, the naughty side.
So just for anybody that can't picture Steve Strange, he was, think of Visage. And any of those videos. Well, that's Steve Strange, right?
Yeah. He was a piece of art.
He was human art.
He was a piece of art. The first time I met him, I think he was dressed as a space cowboy. Huge padded shoulders, huge black hair pointing up. He must have gone up about, his quiff must have been 2 foot in.
Very high quiff.
You know, he had these big black old contact lenses over the whole of the eye, and so the white pieces as well.
Martian-like.
Oh, he was Martian-like. But I loved him. I'd never met anyone with such charisma in all my life. I remember, I talk about it in the book, I remember the first time I ever saw him was at a Generation X gig. And can you imagine somebody being more charismatic than Billy Idol, when Billy Idol was the most beautiful kid in the world? And so Steve Strange stood on the side of the stage, far too far on, you know, he was like just that bit too far. And I couldn't take my eyes off Steve, you know. I was a huge Generation X fan, loved Billy Idol, but I couldn't take my eyes off of Steve Strange. He was that charismatic. And then the first time I met him was when I went to pay my £2 at the Blitz. And he held my hand and he held it for that bit too long as I gave him my money.
That the first time he tried to pull you?
Yeah, the first time he tried to pull me. Absolutely that. And it went on from there.
Wow. And then you'd walk into the Blitz Club, right, and just paint the scene for me. If you wanted to put your coat into the coat check, who was running the coat check?
Oh, Boy George. Right. Boy George ran the coat check.
Yeah.
I mean, it was mad. Imagine this. It was coming out of a punk club that was, everybody was down and dirty and it was dressed in their leathers and their cut jeans and everybody was talking about there was no future, there was no ambition. So walking into the Blitz, the most colourful explosion I'd ever seen in my life. Like, there were kids from art school and kids from universities around Covent Garden.
The fashion students, wasn't it?
St Martin's College. Mm. And wearing their outrageous outfits, all in this explosive colour. On the record player, there was, I think the first time I ever walked in, it might have been Boys Keep Swinging that was on, Rusty was playing on the deck. And it was just an experience that I will never forget. Yeah. It was just, everybody was talking about what they were going to do, about the future, about who they wanted to become, which was, it didn't exist in those punk days.
So it was a room full of colour and ambition,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In a very black and white post-recession.
Yeah. Yeah.
Britain that was still really coming to terms with the tail end of World War II.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of the economics and just the infrastructure. You talked about growing up playing on World War II bomb sites. And then in you go into this place which is full of the misfits of society, who then went on to redraw what society looked like, right?
Yeah.
So you had John Galliano in there, you had Bananarama. Eventually George would come along with Andrew Ridgeley.
Ultravox, wow.
Ultravox, I mean, Midjour.
Yeah.
And it became this kind of petri dish. I mean, like, these people went on to create so much of the 80s. And you make a great point in the book. You say, economically, I'd love to work out the maths on what they contributed.
Yeah.
From this sweaty little bar on a Tuesday night that's £2 to get in if you look the right, you know. And if you don't look right, you're not coming in.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to dedicate the book to Steve Strange, because Steve would be amazed now if he was still around that how he had changed the face of the 80s without knowing it. Mm. And so he gave life to so many people. It's incredible. So many different bands would not be here today. The 80s would not have been the same if it wasn't for Steve.
And it's almost like he was a curator, right? Because he was a tastemaker, and if he said you were good, people took notice, which in itself was kind of not even soft power, that's just power.
Yeah. But at the time, he didn't know it. You know, he was having fun. He didn't know what he was doing, but that's what happened.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Next up, it's one of the most successful girl groups of any decade, not just the 80s. It's Bananarama. When Karen Woodward and Sarah Darling came onto the show, they shared with us their own special memories of their time at the Blitz, as well as when they ended up living in a squat above the Sex Pistols' former studio. It was not fragrant. And what were your priorities then? Just good times?
Fun. I think a lot of fun.
Well, obviously I was studying, but then suddenly the idea of the group, but it was meeting all, it was meeting really creative people that, you know, we had never met before.
It was sort of opening our eyes. It was sort of opening our eyes to things and new experience. It was all new experiences.
From
and we
our
wanted
clubbing,
as many as we could get.
Our clubbing, we first came across Boy George, Jeremy Healy, Mark Moore from Essex Express. I mean, all those people were not who they were then, and neither were we. And then suddenly, lots of people, even from the Blitz, Spandau Ballet. I mean, loads of people went on to be other things.
It was a very creative cultural sort of time for youth, I think, in those days. And I don't know if that sort of thing really exists now, because everything seems to be online.
Clubbing was very much dressing up, and really everybody had a character, and just it was the excitement of dressing up, which I guess people still dress up, but it was like really mental dressing up, wasn't it?
Experimentational, in that it wasn't just, put on a bit of lippy. It was, what are you going to do for your look tonight? And there's some very strange ones of me in the book.
You haven't got the film.
I love them, though. But I remember we had Martin and Shirley Kemp on, and they were talking about exactly this time. And, you know, you're right, it would be like a Tuesday night. And you would spend hours getting dressed up, and you wouldn't just do a little bit. It was a look. It was a theme. You know, it was, and then you would go out, and there was this kind of petri dish of amazingly creative people who all went on to become significant in terms of the cultural landscape of that time. And sometimes those people are just drawn together, aren't they? Most kind of magnetic.
And then later in the 80s, we gravitated. We had a very sort of artistic set around us, didn't we? Lovely and John and
Lee Bowery.
And we sort of hung out in a different kind of environment, but with equally exciting creative people. Yeah. And it's quite inspiring being with people like that, people who think a bit differently, and, you know, you can learn a lot.
I love the detail in which you write about how skint you were, despite certainly in your early days of Bananarama. You're selling millions of records, but you're signing on. You're absolutely brassic. You're living in, you know, rehearsal studios that are free of charge, and you're showering. Where would you go for showers?
Swimming baths, which is still there.
It's really funny though, because they had like little stalls where you open the door and there's a bath in there, and Karen said somebody ran the bath for you, and you paid 50p and you had a bath. I mean, that's almost Victorian. It's like,
well, it was like a bathhouse in the Oasis swimming baths. I don't know if they still do.
I don't. They have that there.
But that was just at the end of Denmark Street where we were living. So that was what the rest of the time was a boiled kettle and a bowl.
Splash the face.
I mean, like when you say you're living in Denmark Street, that's like, you know, prime location now. That's multi-million pound addresses.
I know. It was
literally squalid.
Yeah.
It really was. It was a horrible outside toilet that was filthy. And I imagine the Sex Pistols had used 10 years before or 5 years before us.
It was their rehearsal studio, wasn't it?
Still belonged to those two, and they still rehearsed there with their new band. So, we just lived in what used to be the office above it. And so it had an old table and just had nothing in there at all. No. Cold water, no hot water, rubbishy toilet outside.
And
in
leaks in the roof.
Yeah.
Between the beams. So we had just sort of carrier bags.
Catching the leak.
Catching all the water.
And then Karen and I just took the mattresses from the YWCA, where we were living before that, while we were at college, while I was at college. We just dragged the mattresses down there and flung them on the floor, and that was it. I think we were only there for 6 months.
But we were so happy there.
Yes.
I mean...
Were you?
Well, such an adventure. I sort of think...
Soho. I mean, you're in the heart of Soho.
And back then, that was where everything happened.
Yeah.
It was. I think, it was just a place of huge excitement for us, the fact that we could walk out and just be in the middle of everything.
Finally, it's Colleen Nolan and her sister Maureen, both of them members of the Nolans. At the time, in the 80s, Ireland's biggest performing family act, who went on to achieve global superstardom. Here, they reminisce about how they became superstars in Japan as teenagers and how challenging that was at the time, but also how special it is to look back on. In fact, at one point, they sold more records in Japan than the Beatles.
I think the whole 80s thing in Japan was incredible, and something that at the time I didn't appreciate enough, because it was hard work and I was very young, and I spent most of it going, oh, I just want to go home, you know.
Yeah. Did you? You didn't. Yeah. I remember you saying you didn't really eat much while you were there.
Well, you never have time. Yeah. I mean, you think you work hard in this country, you've no idea how the Japanese work. And to be fair, it worked. You know, we broke so many records out there, and the first, you know, international act to do whatever, and we broke all those records. So they know what they're doing, but they have no concept of that you need to eat or go to the toilet. And
or sleep.
So it was or sleep. Yeah, so it's really, really, really hard work. But when I look back now, I look back and go, wow, it was absolutely... It was the first time and probably the last time where I felt like a proper pop star.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, screaming in the street. We weren't allowed to leave the hotel. We had to have the army take us around. You know, when we're on the bullet train, we had to be surrounded by the army to get us on the train. I mean, it was like everything you dream of a pop star when you're a kid. And there I was at 15 living it.
That's the thing. Cole, you were 15. And so you'd always been too young to join the band until that point. And then when you joined, it just went international. I mean, you sold more records in Japan than the Beatles.
Yeah. Well, at that time, I know. And we were the first international, we were the first satellite as well.
Yeah,
we did our first satellite from Piccadilly Square over to Japan.
Yeah,
it was the first time they'd done that, and loads of things. First international act to be in the
international charts and the national charts.
Yeah,
the Japanese charts and the international charts. Yeah, number one.
It was just things like that where you go, "Wow, I don't think I appreciated that enough.
But how do you when you're 15? You know, it's hard.
I know,
isn't it?
But I drive my kids mad now because I'm 55 and I still go on about it now. And whenever they say anything, I go, I think you forget I was huge in Japan. So
and unfortunately for us, that because that all catapulted and happened as she joined the act, she always says it was because of her that all happened.
Obviously.
Well, to be honest, Colly, it all stacks up as a story, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I joined
exactly.
And international stardom beckoned.
Yeah, exactly. I've been going years before that, studying the board.
But you know what? You look back now, like imagine your daughter at 15 experiencing that.
Wow, yeah. You'd be terrified for them at the same time, wouldn't you?
You'd be terrified for them and I'd be so protective of her. And the first time she'd ever phone me up and go, I'm just tired, I want to come home. I know as a mom, I'd dash over there and get her.
Yeah, you would.
It's the wrong thing to do.
But
luckily we had partners with us. Linda's husband was with us at one point, and my partner was with us, Richie, who I later married. But and our mum and dad came as well, so we were protected, and we used to protect each other, really, you know, in lots of ways. If any of us was, if one of us was getting big time, you know, the others would sort of slap them down, really.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. We've always done everything and being surrounded by family, and I think that makes such a difference. You know, the thoughts of Kira going off at 15 on her own, or even if I'd have been 15 on my own, I don't think I would have been able to cope with that on my own.
Oh, God, no.
No.
But, I mean, and you were always the baby of the family. So
yeah, I still am. I'm 55 and they still treat me like I'm 12.
Thank you so much for joining me for another midweek dive into the White Wine Question Time treasure trove of a cellar. To listen to all of these episodes in full, just search the guest name in your search bar. This week, you enjoyed conversations with Martin Kemp, Bananarama, and Colleen and Maureen Nolan from the Nolans. I'll be back with a brand new episode on Friday. Until then, thanks for listening. Have a great week.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.